Father, open our hearts to hear what this man has to say. And let us catch something of the fire, Lord God, that he carries. An uncontainable, uncontrollable passion and fire for those that don't yet know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks very much. Give Colin a round of applause. How good is he? The thing I love about River Church is that you don't have to be perfect to come to River. You can come as you are. You can just come because there's a seat for you, there's a place for you, there's always a welcome for you. And I love that about River Church, because we just walk in and we get welcomed straight away like I haven't left. I left 17 years ago to join a band called the Worldwide Message Tribe up in Manchester. And as they got slightly fatter and older, I kind of thought, well, actually, if you're going to stop, the message never changes, but the method might. So we came up with a new band called LZ7, and we started it about officially in about 2010, but we did a lot of stuff in prisons and high schools across the world, and chucked a song in the charts, and that kind of sent us to what we're doing now. It's called Little Light of Mine. You can go and watch it. It's really cheesy. Please don't judge me on it. Please don't judge this talk on it. It's a great song. It is a great song. And night before in Norway, they came and complained that we didn't play the song. And I literally looked and I said, I'm sorry, we actually don't have it. It kind of makes our skin crawl when we play it, but can we do something else? They're like, no, we're so disappointed. They always talk like that in Norway. And it kind of elevated what we do. But then we launched another song called 27 Million, which is an anti-human trafficking song into the charts, not realising what it was actually going to do. And I came and talked about it in River Church. And I said, look, would you help me launch this? Would you help me and Matt Redman kind of stick a lamp on a stand and shine a light in a dark world? And I walked away from the church service with 12 grand from you guys that literally paid for the radio promotion to get it to number one in the States. Then it opened all the doors for us to go into schools. Does that make sense? So everything has started. It's been birthed out of you guys helping us guys. And there was a point probably 2 or 3 years ago when we started a new little ministry called Light. And we went through a period where my faith muscle was really tested. We didn't get paid for like 4 months. And we were delving into savings and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, what am I going to do? And all I could think about was the way that you guys have supported us. And the money that you send us each month has kept us afloat for the last 17 years. So thank you so much. Me and Lucy genuinely really appreciate it. We came back when we'd adopted our little boy, Jack. He is, he's mixed race. He's half Jamaican and half English. So I call him Jim English. He's got red hair. You'll see him running about. And Kerry got him up the front when we were doing a dedication, because we wanted to dedicate him in our home church as well. And she said, he's Jack the Giant Killer. And I just said to him a second ago, I said, do you remember being called, granddad calls you Jack the Giant Killer? He goes, yeah. He said, why'd you call me that? I said, because that lady there with the pink scarf, you were giving him his chocolate. That lady there, she spoke it over you. You speak words of life in this church, man. Thank you so much. We genuinely really appreciate it, having that foundation when we go out on the road. And I've just literally come back from Norway yesterday. We had 700 kids turn up. They have 200 in their youth group. They put a message out that LZ7, we've got a bit of a fan base in Norway, that LZ7 is going to come down. 700 kids turned up and 559 responded to Jesus for the first time. And I'm stood there just like, why in the world would God use a stupid numpty from Maidenhead with a girl's name and spiky blonde hair looking like Chef Ramsay to go and preach? Shut up, man. No, I'm sorry. To go and stand in front of these kids in Norway that don't speak English to tell them about the great news of Jesus. And it's just incredible, because it's all about the one thing. Everyone say the one thing. No, a little bit louder. Say the one thing. Is there anybody married in here? Who's married? Put your hands up. Is there anybody single in here? Put your hands up. So this is one for the singleton. Buzz, this isn't for you, mate. Don't listen to me now. This is one for all the singletons in here, just for every time you come in. And I know that you save yourself a place. You find that place where that person's going to be sat. I know how it works with singletons. I used to try and sit next to James Clary, because James Clary always had girls around him when we were young in mainstream, which is what it was called. Sorry, Annie, at the time. And I'd sit there and I'd be like, can something rub off on me, please? Come on. For the singletons in here, when you're sitting in church, you're sitting next to someone, look in your Bible, open it up, make yourself look holy, get to the book of Numbers and say, hey, yo, I'm looking through the book of Numbers, but I don't see your number in here. Trust me, it'll work. It worked, didn't it, Luce? No, I'm joking. That was just to throw you off the point. Look, you notice I'm getting a little bit older because I have to wear bins. It's ridiculous. So check this. I was in the gym the other day, and this guy comes up and he says, we sat in a sauna, and he said, what is the one thing that you can give to someone that's got everything? And I said, well, you give them the one thing, bro. And he's like, what do you mean the one thing? And I said, the one thing is Jesus. And he sat there and he goes, nah, bruv. He doesn't speak like that. He's Mancunian. He says, no, mate, no. Christians, they're hypocrites. You're a bunch of hypocrites. And I said, and there's a seat in church for you as well, bro. And he sat and his mouth hit the floor. He's like, what? And I said, there's a seat for everybody. There's a seat in a church for everybody, wherever you're from, whatever background you're from, whatever you've done, whatever history you have, whatever you've done in your past is done and your future's yet to come. Your past is your history, your future's your destiny. I love it when I come back from places like New Zealand and America and Manchester as well. And I come from a church like in Norway, and we serve the same God, the same Jesus. We get up and we sang this song as a response on Friday night, No More Slaves, which is by Bethel Music. We sang it over these kids, and they got up and just started singing. And I stood at the back almost in tears, because I'm like, these kids worship the same Jesus that I worship. And it's because our fathers have set this pace before us. It's because our brothers and sisters have encouraged us. But it's the same Jesus. It's the one thing. And I was looking in John 14. Anyone got a Bible with them? I got it on my phone. Get your Bibles out. That'd be amazing. You see, church doesn't need to be perfect, does it? Otherwise, there wouldn't be a place for me and you. Church just needs to be healthy. And that's what I love about River Church, is that it's a healthy church. But I was looking in John 14, and it's where Thomas is kind of looking at Jesus, and he's saying, yo, what's, I don't quite understand this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In another translation, it says, I am the road, for those people that like sat-navs. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So basically, Jesus is saying, I am who I say I am. I am the way. No one gets to the Father except through me, through that one thing. Have you ever left the house without your one thing? Do you understand what I mean when you do that? You leave the house without your wallet, you get to the train station, you haven't got your Oyster card. Or for me, I leave the house without boxer shorts on sometimes. And I'm like, my one thing, what have I done? I feel naked. You leave the house without your wallet when you're going on a date. This is a classic one for blokes. I used to do this. Leave your wallet at the house and go, oh no, I can't pay. The one thing we forget. And I'm sat there in the gym with this guy, and I said to him, I said, you're missing the one thing. And it hit me like a train again. I was like, through this life, do I do this roller coaster life with him or without him? Do I do this roller coaster life of ups and downs? I say this to kids all the time, when the roller coaster is hanging upside down, when you've come to the end, when it's thrown you a curveball, the three words are never give up. Jesus is never going to leave you. Just keep breathing. He might not come down and stand next to you. He might not suddenly come in and sort your life out. But what he does is he gets his big parachute and he parachutes down and does the walk with you. When you put it in language that young people understand, they kind of get it. And they kind of, you see the whites of their eyes, and you see this Damascus Road experience where they've been told they're a piece of muck on someone's shoe, or they've been told that they've got no future, that they should never have been here, that they're worthless, that they're perhaps the result of a one night stand. And they stand there and sit there. And by the end of the lesson, and I'm going to show you a video in a second of what it looks like. You see these kids, Wayne's seen it, they go bananas. Because it's not just the music. The music creates the platform. It's the message about that one thing. That Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And you can come to know Jesus because of what he did on the cross. It's really simple. It's simple for me. Can I show you a quick vid just to sort of put it into context? And when we get to a point, Tim, when I ask you to pause it, we'll pause it and I'll explain why. So let's go with this. Yeah, that's it. Hold it there. So that school was last summer in Doncaster, and we filled this kind of warehouse with 700 young people. And I sent them into another room. I did a response, and I saw, and I looked, and I was like, hang on, go into the back room. Let's go into this other room. So we walked into the back room, and I thought, this is a heck of a lot of people. So I looked back into the room. I looked back into there, and I was like, there's 10 people left in the main room. 690 young people in Doncaster, in one of our cities, had responded to Jesus. That was right then. I had to stand on the deck of the cafe with no PA because the PA wouldn't work. My voice was better. And lead these young people in an amazing prayer that put Jesus in the driving seat of their life. Now, you see all the music stuff, and you see all that, like, we stick songs in the charts. That stuff happens. So one side of the coin, that stuff happens. We have a mainstream kind of push that happens, and the booking agents and touring agents and all this kind of stuff works. The other side of it is getting into as many schools as possible, seeing the whites of their eyes, and leading them in an amazing kind of journey to put Jesus in the driving seat. This young girl, she's called Caitlin. And did I hear that you're from... You're Kiwi? I heard that. You're Kiwi, aren't you? Both of you, right. So we go on tour in New Zealand, a thing called the Revolution Tour. And when we're on tour, on the Revolution Tour, we go into 200 high schools across your nation. It's got to the point now where when we go on tour, between 5 and 10%, the suicide rate drops by 5 to 10% when we're on that tour. There's 7 bands that go into as many high schools as possible. We fill Christchurch Arena, Vector Arena, all those places that you guys know about in New Zealand. Well, I was thinking, well, why can't we bring that to here? And I'm going to explain that a little bit of what that is. But this girl, she's called Caitlin. This is in Christchurch in 2011. And I walked into school and I said, look, life is like a roller coaster. Secret to life is never give up. This lady comes up to me before the church, before the lesson, and she says, I'm English. And I said, oh, yeah, can tell. She says, don't mention the word Jesus. I was like, why? She said, because I called the police. She says, don't mention it. You're not allowed to mention Jesus in the schools in New Zealand. You're not allowed to mention your faith. It's all got to be a positive message. So I said, secret to life is when the roller coaster of life is throwing you a curveball and you're hanging upside down, never give up. Just keep breathing. She starts to cry. She starts to shake. She's got her head against the wall, shaking like this, crying. I walk over to her and I said, are you all right? She says, nah. So I didn't have time to talk to her, but I gave her a free ticket to the show. I said, Caitlin, come down to the show. So we're in Christchurch Arena, and about 100 feet from the stage, this girl, she's got, it's her, but she's got bright red hair, like bright red hair, like sticking out, all black, everything. And I said it again. I said, secret to life is never give up, just keep breathing. So there's an answer to today's problems. That answer is Jesus Christ tomorrow. He said, the secret is get him in the driving seat of your life. She starts to shake, like shaking, crying. Everyone around her is going, blah, like they do at our shows. They're just going, blah, mental. All the Big Island guys are like, blah. And they all look like Jonah Lomu. And they don't, but they do. And I said it again, and I can see it. I'm going, come on, come on. She's looking at the stage going like, oh, come on. And everyone else is jumping around. She's like, no, no, no. Starts to cry as soon as I said it. And she cried so hard, she made a mascara beard around her face. So I said we had a security guard with us. He's another Big Island dude. He's from Samoa, and he's got tattoos down here, and his name's Joe. And I said, Joe, can you go and get that girl? You'll see her. She's got bright red hair. Just go and bring her to the side of stage. He walks down, he walks her back up to the side of stage, and I come off, and I'm sweating, like dripping. You've been to an LZ7 show. I sweat. My eyeballs sweat. I call it crying, but it's actually sweat. And I said, are you all right? She goes, no. I said, why not? She goes, you messed it up. I said, have I messed it up? You just had a right laugh. Everyone's going mental. She goes, no, you messed up my plans. I said, why? She said, you come in my school on Wednesday. This was a Friday night when the show was on. You came in my school on Wednesday. You told me I had a hope, a future, and a destiny, something to live for. You said, don't jump off the roller coaster of life. Something hit me boom, like a train when the music came on. I couldn't stop crying. She said, I got home that night. I looked into my journal, my diary, and I'd set a date to jump off the roller coaster of life. I said, when was that? She says, tonight after the show. I said, what does that look like for a 14-year-old girl? She gets out, she's 12. She puts her hands in her pocket. She gets out 160 pills. She gets out 2 razor blades this long. She gets out 2 notes, one for her mum, one for her dad, to say bye. She pulled up her sleeves. She's got no skin left that she could cut. She said, but I'm not going to do it. She rolls it all up in the notes and she hands it out. And she drops it in my hand. And I'm there for 10 seconds like, you told me I've got a future. You told me there's a Jesus that loves me. You told me there's a God that loves me. So I'm not jumping off the roller coaster of life. I stay in contact with her. 3 months later, she sends me an email. She says, I'm still here. Still find it hard. I gave her a big elastic band to ping against her arm so that she wouldn't cut, you know, every time she feels pain. She said, so much pain on the inside that I express it on the outside. 6 months later, she sends another email. I'm good. I'm feeling better. I'm in church. 9 months later, I've been through rehab. I'm completely healed. I walk into school this year. And I'm sat there looking, and I see this kid, he's got a Nirvana t-shirt on, and I've got the same t-shirt. And I went, yeah, smells like Teen Spirit, yeah. Went over to him, pat, and he's like, yeah, yeah, you're cool, bro. And I said, how you feeling, man? And he said, no, I'm good, eh? That's how it goes, isn't it? Hey, at the end. And sat next to him is this girl, and this girl's got her arm around him. And I said, she looks at me, and she says, Linz, it's Caitlin. And I was like, who? She said, Caitlin, with the red hair. I was like, run that by me again? She said, yeah, it's Caitlin, the girl that gave you all the stuff. She said, I'm now a mentor in my school when I'm mentoring this year 10 who's going through the same stuff that I'm going through. That's that girl right there. She comes up. Now, I don't know if you have a heart of stone, that doesn't move you. That moves me to go, actually, I need to do something about this. My career is what I'm paid for. My calling is what I'm made for. Now, my career, you can be called for. You can be called to make money. Come give it to me. I'm only joking. Well, I'm not. I'm kind of serious, actually. Now I've got to that point. If for some reason you're getting moved by this and you do want to help us, I looked at our budget the other day and 21% of what we do comes through gigs and merchandise and everything else. 79% of what we do comes from individuals supporting us, sending us £10 a month, £20 a month. It comes from trust funds supporting us, saying, actually, we want to give something to this. We want to send out an album. We want to do this. That's the only way that we survive. That's the only way that we can get in front of 750,000 people a year. You see, people like you. If you do sign up today, great. I'm not going to give it a hard push. But if you do, I'll give you a free LZ7 album. That's a deal. That's a steal. That's a sale of the century. That's enough. After we saw this, I turned up to Big Church Day Out. So, Tim, if you just play it again, there's another photo that's going to come up on the screen. And we did a Big Church Day Out stage, and there's like 25,000 people there. And I'm up on the stage and did the same thing. I said, never give up, you know. The answer to life is Jesus being the one thing. This girl comes up, and you'll see a photo come up now, and she walks over to the signing, and I had to stop the signing because I just burst into tears. She says, I was at your gig last year at Big Church Day Out. She said, I came home. I don't like LZ7. I'm like, oh, right, thanks. You've come to the signing line. You don't want to... That's cool. She goes, no, it's not I don't like it. I'm just into kind of music, like the big rock stuff. I said, she said, can I tell you my story? Now, there is thousands of kids in this line waiting to sign for us to sign their CDs. She leans forward and she pulls up her trouser leg and she says, I have nowhere else to cut on my body. I had nowhere else to put a scarf and the pain that I felt on the inside. When she leant forward and she said, she's got this little lab with her. She said, I came back from Big Church Day Out last year and 5 days later, so here she is, that girl. I'm sat in a tree. This is in the UK. She's put a rope around a rock. She's put it up around the tree. She's put the rope around her neck and this thrash metal music in her ears going, telling her to jump. She starts pushing her butt forward to push off the edge. And as soon as she did, she said, I've never downloaded, I don't have Apple Music, I don't have your CDs, I don't have any of your stuff. But one of your songs came on my iPod, called Symphony. And Symphony is all about being part of God's great symphony. We're part of the same family. She said, it inspired me so much that I'm part of this symphony that I undid the rope and it saved my life. And I'm here with my little boy that I'm looking after now and taking him on the journey of his first steps with Jesus. Now, I'm sat there just like, that's the UK now. Now, that's home. That's like, you sit in New Zealand, I get it, great, it's amazing, right? New Zealand is being looked after by the Revolution Tour. What's going on in the UK? Well, not much, besides what we've been doing in Manchester. So I came up with this idea called the Illuminate Tour. And this is what I was going to talk about with you guys. Is the Illuminate Tour is doing exactly what we said we would do from the very beginning. Is we'd chuck some songs in the charts. We'd get in front of as many people as possible, but we'd start booking some arenas. I went to this meeting recently with my boy Lee. So we've got Lee and Mary Kate at the back. Mary Kate, stand up. Lee is the Illuminate Tour coordinator. He has got muscles from Brussels. He's a good-looking chap. I'm saying it because his wife is stood next to Mary Kate. They now work for Light and LZ7. And Lee is the Illuminate Tour coordinator. Mary Kate is the office manager. And she kind of does a bit of PAing for me because I'm really disorganized. But these guys, so me and Lee were in this meeting with this lad. And this lad sit down and walk in. And he goes, mate, Lenz, I effing love what you do. And I was like taken aback because I'd just come out of HDB. Sit down and he says, he's dripping money, like brown skin, Rolex, like big collar, flash hair, nice suit. And he goes, I've been a DJ 55 years. He says, I want to give back. And I said, all right, so what do you do now? He said, I own the country's largest nightclub network. My brain starts going, steam coming out of my ears. And I'm like, and he says, I want to give you the venues for free. And I said, I know you do. It's 57 nightclubs across the country. He's given us the venues for free. So on a Friday night, when we go to Stoke in February, they didn't have a venue. I phoned them up and I said, we've got a venue. It's called Fiction in the centre of town. It holds 1,200 kids. We can get down there. We can supplement it with our gear. And then I said to him, can we have it on a Sunday as well to plant back into that club? So the youth workers from the local churches give 6 weeks to that club and say, we're going to start a youth alpha, a AAA pass, one of our discipleship resources, and basically start a little church plant across the nightclubs of the UK. Where does every kid want to be on a Friday night? You ask him, I want to be in the club, mate. Where does every mum and dad, where will they let them go? To an under 18, drug-free, alcohol-free night with a positive message. That's the Illuminate Tour. At the same time, sticking songs out, putting them out, getting them pushed by radio producers and get onto Radio 1 because the way that girl got it in her ears that saved her life is through little white headphones. What's everybody listening to right now? Little white headphones. Get on a train in the morning, watch them. What's the one way that we can get into those little white headphones? Get your song on the radio. That's kind of the idea to it. So there's two sides to the coin. So the Illuminate Tour, I reckon we could be in front of, in the next 5 years, 2 million young people. If 10% is the average, now you saw our average is like 690 out of 700, like it's going to be more than that. But if 10% is the kind of Billy Graham average, we could see 200,000 young people. When 10% of a population adopt a belief, they have a tipping point in that. So if we see 200,000 young people respond to Jesus, you'll see a tipping point in our schools back to Jesus. Because we're making the one thing the one thing. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I want to see. I want to see young people go from death to life, physically, like we see with the self-harm stuff, but spiritually, when they put Jesus in the driving seat of their life. And so the Illuminate Tour kicks off in Stoke in February. I was talking to Lee the other day, and we sat down, and we kind of bottomed out how many tours we got. And I was thinking, next 2 years, we'll have 10. Great, we can cope with 10. Like, we'll be able to facilitate 10, we've got the amount of capacity for 10, there's 7 full-time staff that we run, a board of trustees, 10's good. We sit there and we're like, we've got 27 cities and towns across the UK, from Bristol, Brighton, Norwich, London, Stoke, Glasgow, Liverpool, all across the UK, ready for an Illuminate tour to come to their town or city. We're on the cusp of something that could be really big. I'm kind of sitting there going, I've bitten off way more than I can chew. I need to go to the toilet. What have we done? Like, this is heavy duty. But I'm not, because I know we're making the one thing, the main thing. And the main thing is telling people about Jesus. My career is what I'm paid for, but my calling is what I'm made for. If today you walk away from here knowing that you're made and that your calling is to go and tell someone about Jesus, maybe it's in the sauna, maybe it's in your school, maybe it's inviting them to an event, maybe it's getting down to an alpha course. That's what you're made for. Careers can facilitate that. Careers can be your calling. But we're made for this. We're made for making the main thing the main thing, and that main thing is one thing. That one thing is Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. We had has anyone ever had a disappointment in their life? I don't want to go down on you, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Just before Christmas, we'd managed to get ourselves on down to the very final band that was going to go and open for Justin Bieber. We were going to do 50 dates across Europe. And it was every arena. And I was like, this is it. Like, I had the tsunami ready to go. Like, tsunami of flights and flying out Lucy and Jack to all the events and everybody there. And we had the contracts, just about to sign the contracts. And just on the last day, just before we get there, it was like we got this email from this guy. And you know when you get a big butt? Not a big butt. I mean, a big butt, as in like a B-U-T. And he said, we love Elza 7. We think you're amazing. But. I was like, no, please don't say it. Please don't say it. We love Elza 7, but. We're going to take a management band on the tour so that we can make more money off it. I was like, okay, I get it. And then as I watched Justin Bieber's tour roll out, I realised we dodged a bullet, which is great. But the platform that we've got at the moment, we're now down to the last one. We're here in the next like week or two to go on Little Mix's tour, which is probably better because we get half an hour opening for them. We're the only opening act. We're the only guys that will be there. We pay to go on the tour. So I'm saying to businesses and churches and other people, I'm saying, would you help us get on that tour, to get into those arenas in front of those young people at 10 past 8 every night? We're going to put out a 360 selfie, 24/7 prayer, going to pray for every young person in that arena so they come to know Jesus. Would you help us do it? Would you get behind us? Would you help us do it? Even if it's a lost leader, we have to buy to go on the tour. It's going to cost about 100 grand, but we're going to buy to go on the tour. You work it out monetary, it's about £1 a head. For every person that we'll see in the UK and beyond. In fact, no, what am I talking about? It's not, it's about 10p ahead, because we're going to see millions of people. They've just added 6 more dates to the O2 Arena. If we get on that tour and then we go on the Illuminate Tour, that could be incredible. If we don't, great, we'll still do the Illuminate Tour and we'll get in front of people. But maybe someone in here wants to help us with that, or pray for us, get behind what we're doing. Maybe you're looking at it and going, well, I've got a 12-year-old kid in school and my kids are growing up knowing that Facebook's going to give me a hard time, Twitter's going to give me a hard time, cyberbullying and the mental health. Theresa May's just released a mental health bill that's like fully focusing on that. I wrote to her to come to one of our receptions soon. She said, I can't come, but I'm interested. I'd like to come to other things because I want to be involved in this. Imagine if we could see a tipping point in our nation back to Jesus through this platform. Music creates a platform. We then speak the life-changing message of Jesus. But that's great, isn't it? That's great for me to talk about the work and to hear all those amazing stories. But sometimes it's just about us, isn't it? I love these little stories in the Bible about Jesus where, and this is my kind of favourite thing to talk about, is Jesus, because he is the one thing, the main thing. And the first one is it's never too late for Jesus. You might come in here today and then perhaps there's a problem going on. Perhaps there's something going on in your life. Perhaps the young people, you're dealing with stuff at school that I've been talking about, or there's work issues. It's never too late for Jesus. I love the miracle of turning water into wine. You'll understand why because I come from a church that doesn't mind that. Hey, Al. I shared this at Calvary Chapel recently, and they went... I was like, oh, okay, cool. It was his first miracle, just saying. And I sat there, and I spoke at a church in Marlow. Is it All Saints in Marlow? And I said, I was in the Botanist last night with Keith, before I went and spoke at the church, and I said, looks like some of you lads in here have had a little bit too much Botanist. And they went, yeah, I've... Thing is, on the third day, Jesus turns up to a wedding. Now, you know the weddings in Cana, they were like 3 days long. They were the most opulent thing that the dad could put on. He'd put them on just to have everybody party, everybody turn up, just to show his wealth and to show his new bride. That Mary comes up and Jesus is on a mission. Now, he knew what his mission was, but Jesus comes up and says, Mary comes up to Jesus and says, they've run out of wine. And he says, yo, hang on a minute. Don't bother me. And she says, but they need some more wine. So he goes up. And he says to the servants, can you go and fill those kind of ceremonial things that they clean the feet with? Go and fill them with water. They come back and they empty these 30-gallon buckets, pour it out, and the water's turned into wine. You know the story. But you see, the crazy thing is the dad, the father of the bride, goes up and says, and some of the guests come up and say, hang on a minute. Normally when everybody's drunk and everybody's done and everyone's finished and it doesn't matter what kind of stuff we serve, you serve the best wine. Because Jesus saves the best till last. No matter what you're going through this day, no matter what you're going through this week, Jesus always saves the best till last. It's not over till it's over. Second one I was thinking of was when Jonah in the whale. Jonah runs from God. Like some people get called. Like I said, you know, your calling is what you're made for. We leg it away because we go, no. God, I can't do it. I was that with Manchester. I was like, yo, Manchester, that's a nosebleed territory. What are you talking about? I'm not moving from my nice job in down here in Marlow and Sloane Square to go to Manchester. Really? I could have run from it. I could have gone, no. Like Jonah, run the other way when he was called to Nineveh. But I was like, no, I need to do it. I want to do it because I love seeing what we're doing. But sometimes we run, sometimes we're so scared of what God's going to call us to do that actually we need to overcome the fear, false evidence appearing real, to actually step into what God's called us to do. Jonah gets swallowed up by the whale, you've heard that, and he sat in the belly of the whale. Can you imagine being sat in the belly of a whale? Can you imagine being like all the bile and the rubbish that's sitting on top of you, that you sat there for time and you're just like deliberating, what the heck am I doing in the belly of this whale? Sometimes life can swallow us up, right? Sometimes things in life can make it so difficult that we feel like we're swallowed up. But sometimes, just maybe, God takes you through the tough times because you sit there and you listen. And sometimes it's all stuff going around. And in the calm of it, you're covered in it. You sat and you're like, what is going on, God? He then speaks his still, quiet voice and says, I love you. I'm calling you. I'm the one thing. Make me the main thing. Put me in the driving seat of your life. The amazing thing about with Jonah, 3 days later, he got spat out of the whale. You're getting this thing of three, right? You're hearing that. On the cross, this is my favourite bit. When Jesus is up on there, on the third day, Jesus said three words. It is finished. Not just it is finished about life. Not just it is finished about stuff that he was going through on the cross. But it is finished for your life. The stuff that you've been through. The line in the sand moment you have when you go from death to life. It is finished. It's done. It's gone. Your past is done. Your future's yet to come. Doesn't matter how old you are, what you've been through, what's been said to you, what's been spoken over your life. It's finished. Why do I know this? Because the criminal that was sat behind him and said, Jesus, will you remember me? He says, yeah, I will. I remember you in paradise. You'll see me there. That to me, on his deathbed, on his last breath, the last thing he could say was, make me the main thing. I'm the one thing. Maybe some of us have turned up today and we're feeling a little bit like Jonah and we're kind of covered in it. And life has thrown us a proper curveball and we're finding it difficult and we're finding it tough. Or maybe there's some of us that are feeling a little bit like Caitlin did. Maybe you've been told stuff or you're on the receiving end of something at school or there's some stuff going on online for the young people that maybe you're on the receiving end of some of that. It's never over till it's over. Jesus comes in and he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I can make your past your history, your future your destiny. Someone once said to me that coming to church every Sunday and being a Christian is like going to McDonald's every Sunday and trying to be a Big Mac. Doesn't work. You have to make a choice yourself. Mum and Dad used to bring us to church faithfully, and I loved it. And as we started to grow up and get into sport and all kinds of stuff that was going on in life. It was always a priority, but it was never a priority in here until I got back to university and I had this encounter where I was like, I've got to make the main thing the main thing. I've got to make the one thing the one thing. I always knew that I loved Jesus. I always knew that I'd come to church and I'd sing the songs, but then I'd be going out and doing exactly what my mates were doing. And I realised that actually, to make the main thing, some of that stuff has to go. Some of the stuff that gets me to where Jonah was has to be gone. Some of that stuff I have to say, nah, I'm not into that now. Some of the stuff that I say, you know what, maybe I'm going to put that down and pick up this new stuff, this new life, this new habit. Maybe that's some of us here today. Or maybe you're just at the end and you're like, it's finished. I need to hand this to Jesus. I need to put it at the foot of the cross. I need to lay it on him. Lay it on his shoulders. Lay it on the cross that he took as a substitute for the stuff that I do. The stuff that I do wrong. The things that I say that I think that are bad, that cause a barrier between me and God. But also, perhaps, when he forgives us, he gives us the ability to forgive other people. He gives us the ability to not hold on to bitterness. Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die from it. It's when we twist up inside about what other people are going through or what other people have said, when actually forgiveness is the only antidote. Saying, you know what, I forgive you, even if I don't understand it. That's the antidote. That's the way that we move forward out of that situation. For Caitlin and the girls and the boys that we're going to see in school, when we stand up in front of them and tell them that they can have life to the max, they can have life to the full, put Jesus in the driving seat of their life, I explain it like this, that Jesus was a bridge. That when our life is going on over here and you know we're doing our thing and perhaps we do stuff, say stuff, and we do stuff that's wrong, and God's looking at us going, yo, you're my boy, you're my girl, I designed you, I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm the one thing, I'm the main thing. We carry on like this, but as soon as we turn to Jesus, I promise you, he runs across that bridge and meets you right here. He runs to you like the prodigal son's father did. He runs to you like you've never seen anybody run. Yesterday, we were running through Amsterdam Airport because I'm in the same clothes that I came out of a gig from, because our clothes are in the air somewhere between Norway and Manchester. And I was legging it through the airport and I thought to myself, if I can get to this plane, I know the other guys made it to the plane because he came from Southampton. If I can get to this plane, at least we can put an LZ7 show on. Like if two of us are there, that's good. So I took off and left everybody else from LZ7. They were running, but I was like sprinting down the travelators on the thing. And I was screaming at people, on your left, coming through. People are like effing and jeffing at me as I ran past. And I got this thing and I tied all my coats and everything to my bag and I'm sprinting like, yeah, I've got to get this plane, got to get this plane. I was so adamant to get on this plane. I get to the plane. You know when you cough out and you feel like you're coughing up blood, like you go, I was like that. And my chest was falling out of my chest cavity. And I stood there and I was just like, gosh, that hurt so much. And the air hostess, she goes, oh, you're a little bit flushed, Mr. West. It's like, that's not what I want to hear, man. I want some water. Give me a seat. Give me an exit row. Go on, give me an exit row. Don't let my knees get squashed. Give me an exit row. The thing that I thought then when I was running, as I was running, I was thinking this, is am I going to run to Jesus? Am I going to run as fast as I can to be in his presence? Am I going to seek after him? I wake up every morning, I say this, Lord, I love you, I need you, I'm nothing without you. That's the start of my day, just because I know that I can't do anything without him. My wife, Lucy, puts me to shame. She gets up at 5:50 every morning, sits there for an hour and 10 minutes before Jack gets up, reading the Bible, praying for us, praying for Elder 7, praying for light. I come down and I've said that one statement and she's been there like an hour and 10 minutes because she's running to the presence of Jesus. It's never too late. It's not finished. It's not over. Your past is done. Your future's yet to come. Lucy wakes up every morning and does it for an hour and 10 minutes. And then I have the guts to shout at her and say, what are you doing? She's the one that's all holy and I'm the one that's not. And maybe that's inspiring me to run to Jesus. So are you all right? So just in this moment, as she giggles her head off, if that's one of you today, maybe you're feeling like Jonah. Or maybe you're feeling like Caitlin, or maybe you know you need to run to Jesus, or maybe you just need to make the main thing. This is for you. Or maybe you've come to church and you think you're Christian, but you come because you go to church. You're a Christian because you go to church. It doesn't work like that. You have to make a choice. You have to put him in the driving seat of your life. So this is for you. Or maybe this is your millionth time turning back and saying, you know what, God, I messed it up again. This week's been tough. I've said these things and I shouldn't have done. We turn to Jesus and he comes and meets us right here. So just in this quiet, in this moment, without any freakiness or anything, just let's just bow our heads. And if you want to respond, if you want to, in any of those situations, in any of those things, if that applies to you, just put your right hand in the air right now. Just with me as we put them up high. Nice one. Well done. Well done. Well done. And if this is you coming back and saying, actually, I'm making the main thing. I'm putting Jesus in the rightful place. I know this week's been tough. That's amazing. You put your hands down. Let's just pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me. I want you to be the main thing. Be the one thing in my life that I run to. When life throws me a curveball, thank you that you're with me, that you parachute in. And I'm sorry for the wrong things that I've done. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me. Thank you that you love me that much. You didn't just say it, you proved it. I give you my life right now. I put you in the driving seat. Thank you for heaven that I've got something to live for. I've got hope, a future, and a destiny. I say yes. Amen. You guys are amazing. River Church, thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate it.